Good morning, afternoon, or evening, everybody, and welcome to Pangolin, the conservation podcast. The show dedicated to exploring and amplifying the world's underappreciated conservation stories. The stories that inspire me, and I hope will inspire you too. I'm your host, Jack Baker, and today I am joined by the amazing Laura Young, who may be better known to some of you as Less Waste Laura. She's a climate activist passionate about protecting our oceans, and today she's here to tell us all about a number of protests that will be going on all across the UK on the 23rd of April 2022. Organised by Surfers Against Sewage, these protests hope to secure a better future for our oceans. So I would really encourage you all to listen, to learn, and to get involved if you can. We also make sure to take the time to chat about some of the things you can do for our oceans beyond the protests, beyond April 23rd. And what inspired Laura to act for the ocean in the first place. It's an amazing story, and she's had some great experiences, and it was an absolute pleasure to speak to her. So yes, without further ado, let's get started. Welcome back to the show. I am now joined by Laura Young, who is a climate activist, environmental scientist, sustainability educator, and environmental influencer, who some of you may better know by the name Less Waste Laura. So thank you so much for joining me today, Laura.
Hi, thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. And today we're going to talk about all sorts of different topics. Primarily, we're going to focus on some events that are going on across the UK, I believe, on the 23rd of April. But before we chat a little bit about that, I give my guests a little bit of an introduction, but I think it's always better if you introduce yourself because you know yourself far better than I do. So could you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and just introduce them to who you are and what it is that you do?
Sure. So yeah, I'm Laura. I live in Glasgow up in Scotland. Well, I say up because I just assume everyone is downside. But yeah, I'm in Glasgow, and I've lived here all my life except when I moved away for university. So I did my undergraduate in Dundee, and then I did a master's in Edinburgh. So I've lived in kind of different parts of Scotland, and I've always been interested in environmental stuff. So that's what I went to study. That's what I'm passionate about. That's where my hobbies lie. I feel that's like how I got into all of this kind of stuff, you know, sustainability and thinking about climate and the environment and waste and all that good stuff, hopefully. And I think I've been on a bit of a journey, like personally, but also, you know, thinking about how we can take action more broadly as part of, you know, bigger communities and stuff. But the introduction you gave me is a bit random, but it's because my day-to-day is a bit random. You know, it looks really different, and I love being able to come on and chat to people like you on podcasts like this or do loads of other different things. But yeah, I feel that's like a bit more of an introduction of some of the stuff that I do.
Yes. I feel like in the conservation kind of sector and natural kind of world that we work in, you have to have all these multiple hats that you can put on and off and be, I'm this some days, I'm that other days, I do this sometimes in a morning, but then in the afternoon I transition into a completely different thing. So I think it's a nice little sum up, and I did steal it from your website, so I feel like no credit to me there. But yes, and nice to talk to a fellow Scot, because I feel like actually you might be the first Scottish person I've had, aside from Jodie, who co-hosts one of my other podcasts, the first Scottish person I've actually had on since maybe season one or two.
That's shocking. That's fair.
Yeah, that's really bad, actually. I've had English people who've moved to Scotland, which I think is close enough.
They're
here now, but but nice to be returning home with a... Yes, hopefully people... I mean, my Scottish accent is not that broad. Yours isn't either, but hopefully... No, we won't go really Scottish now. I've just remembered, also, sorry, Katie McFarlane, very Scottish name, very Scottish person, who was on the podcast like 3 weeks ago. And I was like, as soon as I said that there wasn't anyone, I was like, that's wrong. There's someone. And now I'm like, I'm very sorry, Katie. Go and check out Katie's podcast, Wee Blue Dot. But yes, Katie, I'm so sorry. I do remember you. Your episode was fantastic. It's my brain. We are recording this at 9 a.m. That is the reason I forgot. Okay. But yes, so yes, I think that was a nice, perfect little introduction to you and some of the things that you've done. But something I wanted to kind of follow up on, I think the events that we're going to be talking about today are kind of all to do with Surfers Against Sewage and kind of protests about kind of ocean protection, kind of clearing up the oceans and kind of getting presumably government action on these things. But before we kind of get to talking about the events, I thought it was important to talk about why these events are happening and maybe your personal experience with it. I know that you've done a TED talk all about kind of kicking the plastic habit. And so, yeah, could you tell us a little bit about maybe some of the issues that our oceans face and some of the things that you're particularly passionate about to do with that kind of area of conservation and protection of our natural world?
Yeah, you know, I feel our oceans are just the main thing that we can look at often to kind of, I guess, measure the health of the world. You know, our oceans for the last, well, for many people, it might have been decades, but I feel particularly since Blue Planet, that is the time that we really started to think about, okay, our oceans are being impacted really heavily by humans, by the way that we live our lives. And I think the reason oceans are so interesting to look at is because actually we don't live there in the sense that we don't live inside the ocean. You know, we might go swimming or we might live in a coastal region, but we actually don't live inside the oceans, yet we are having huge impacts on them. And that's everything from, you know, massive amounts of plastic, whether that's plastic found on a beach or whether that's plastic floating around somewhere in the North Atlantic, you know, thousands of miles from the next piece of land. That is levels of pollution, you know, levels of chemicals that are man-made or chemicals that come from, you know, ships or from, I guess, what we're going to talk about later, but, you know, the kind of like discharge of sewage or all these really nasty things, you know, being found in the ocean. And that has a huge impact on the health of it. So whether that's the quality of the water or whether that is impacting what actually does live there. So, well, I hate the word fish stocks because it's as if like it's the stock that we're going to eat, but like fish populations, communities, and then kind of beyond that, other aquatic life. So seagrass, coral reefs, all these different things are being impacted by it. And so I think it's a really good indicator of the planet's health. You know, how are our oceans looking? Are we decreasing the amount of living stuff that's in there? Are we increasing the amount of pollution and junk that's floating around? And I think the reason I'm passionate about this is because firstly, I'm just passionate about taking care of this planet, like full stop. You know, I think we shouldn't be looking at it going, oh, it's looking a bit unhealthy, it doesn't look great. You know, I think we've just got a responsibility to look after it. And that's both for the physical thing of the planet, but also the stuff that lives there. And I mean animals and people. So the animals, the fish, the lives that, you know, are inside the ocean and the communities that live, you know, next door to it, you know, coastal regions all around the world. But also because I really think the ocean is something that should be enjoyed. And I mean, fellow Scott, we are very lucky to have these like super remote coastal regions, the highlands and the islands, and almost they are like pristine. You know, you can kind of go swimming in the ocean up north and not really think too much about it. But there are loads of areas across the UK, particularly close to where big populations live. So Glasgow, Edinburgh, and then, of course, as soon as you go down south, you know, I wouldn't be caught dead swimming in the Thames River in London because it's just so polluted and it's just got so much junk in it. And it's not just, you know, the Thames River that always gets picked on. It's all these different coastal regions around the UK that have, you know, discharge of waste and discharge of sewage and stuff that's just polluting it. That also means we just can't enjoy. We can't enjoy swimming around in a safe environment to enjoy nature because there are risks to human health. And so I guess there's all these different things that kind of encompass, like, personally why I'm passionate, because I want to go and swim and enjoy nature, but also because I care and, you know, I think we've got a responsibility to do it. But also because over the last few, I guess, decades now, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, we've just seen this real deterioration of this big indicator of the planet's health.
That's, yeah, I, that's, I feel like I asked you an impossible question there. I have a tendency to do this where I have a guest on and I go, tell us about all the problems about this
yes.
issue. And I feel like somehow
in a nutshell.
You managed to sum it up really well in a nutshell, which is actually perfect. And yes, brilliant. It's not brilliant, but it was a brilliant answer. And I think,
thank you.
I think it summed up everything perfectly there. That this is a thing that I think it's so easy for us to sometimes forget about because it does seem removed. We don't live there. We go there on a day off or we go there for a little holiday or a break. Some of us maybe never go. If you live in the center of somewhere, you maybe never see the ocean. So it's one of these things that, it's easy to remove ourselves from, but so much life depends on it. So much can go wrong if the balance is shifted backwards and forwards just a little bit. I think that was the perfect summary to an impossible question. It was interesting to kind of hear a little bit more about kind of your passions about it specifically as well. And actually, that kind of reminded me of a question that I wanted to ask a little bit, is that what was it that made you first want to, what was the maybe trigger point for you that made you think, this is what I need to act on? The ocean, as we've said, faces all of these numerous threats. Which was it, the one that you, that really spoke to you and went, okay, now I need to change what I do?
It actually happened on a beach, so that's quite relevant. But I was in my final year of university, actually. And if anyone has ever studied, whether it's at school, at uni, or you've just done like a course somewhere, studied anything environmental, I don't know if you've had the same feeling as me, but you kind of feel like, okay, I'm learning all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to do now? Like, what am I supposed to do with all of this information? You know, how am I supposed to not necessarily make a difference, save the world, but just how do I translate textbook into action? And when I was in my final year of uni, so it was actually New Year's Day 2018. So I was maybe like 3 months away from finishing. And we were spending New Year's away with some friends and family. And we were on this big walk along the east coast of Scotland. So it's a place called Ely. So it's kind of near St. Andrews, if that rings a bell for anyone. And there was this, you know, lovely beach. We were doing this big coastal walk on the 1st of January. And we were talking about, you know, what's everyone's plans for the year? What's everyone's big goals? You know, what's the kind of things we're looking forward to? And, you know, me personally, I was like, I have no idea. I'm graduating, but don't know what I'm doing next, not really sure. And when we started talking about, you know, New Year's resolutions, I was like, maybe I could just set myself a fun challenge, you know, something to do. And the kind of background of this is, you know, it's 2018, we'd had Blue Planet, you know, that was all kind of in the back of our minds. I was really thinking about the environment. I was coming to the end of an environmental science degree. And as we were on this walk on the 1st of January, thinking about the beautiful opportunities that we all have in this new year, we started to come across lots of like plastic and waste on this beach. And the further you walk, the further you walk away from, you know, human life in terms of, you know, the kind of busy areas. And still we were coming across plastic, litter, fishing gear, tires. And I just thought, I'm trying to have this epiphany moment of a beautiful new year. And I'm just constantly, you know, finding bits of litter so much that you couldn't have even picked it up. You know, you would have just been picking it up. And, you know, we weren't prepared for a litter pick that day. And that was when I sort of decided, you know, that was my moment of, I just need to do something, because maybe that means I just need to pick up this litter. But also it's maybe I just need to, you know, dedicate this year to trying to think about what it looks like to be different as an individual, make changes no matter how small, but also push for change so that people don't need to walk along a beach and find plastic or whatever the other situations are, you know, go swimming and worry about what they're accidentally swallowing if they take a mouthful of water and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I think that to me was my kind of moment of like, nah, this is enough. Like I need to do something. And that kind of kickstarted my journey to really, I guess being an activist is maybe what you could call it, but just, trying to raise awareness for all these issues.
And I think, yes, it's one of those things that it seems to have been a lot has happened for you over a very short space of time. And knowing the date now of the first thing in 2018 and that kind of revelation to now, for listeners who maybe don't know a lot about your background or maybe have just felt like, you have worked with, I think it was, I was looking on your website yesterday and you have a page where you scroll down everyone you've worked with and all these things. And I was like, these are some major players and some major, like there was Boots, there was kind of it was Volkswagen, wasn't it? The car company.
Yeah, it was Volkswagen. I accidentally said Vauxhall in front of them. So that was great. And I was like, oh, not Vauxhall, sorry. Volkswagen,
That's on them. That's Two similar names.
Exactly.
slip of the tongue. But yeah, and then you had your TED Talk, you've had all of these things. You kind of this year received the Being Edinburgh Award for kind of your contributions to everything. So I feel like it just goes to show what a lot can be achieved in terms of kind of environmental kind of impact if you just put your mind to it and think, actually, I can make a difference here and I can stand up and say something about something. I don't know. I feel like I've just listed off all your achievements, but do you have anything to add?
It's great. No, but you know, I mean, I think what you said there at the end though is like when you put your mind to it, you also just don't know where you might end up going. I mean, so for example, I don't have a podcast, but you do, and you don't know who might come across it, listen to an episode, mm-hmm. and be impacted by something that's been said. You know, something might stick. And I think when people just decide, do you know, I care really deeply about this issue, I'm going to do whatever it is in my skill set to try and help. So for you, that's a podcast, that's podcasting, that's editing, that's being techie, that's getting guests on. For me, that looks a little bit different. You know, it's working with businesses, it's working with, you know, and I think when anyone just tries to put their mind to it, you know, I think that really helps and kind of like helps us shape a movement and, you know, really. But I definitely think, you know, 4 years ago I had no idea what I was doing. It started off as a New Year's resolution. It wasn't exactly ever going to become a job or ever going to become like the core bit of what I do, but now it very much is that, and it's kind of developed over time. But I will say, when I won that award, I got an acceptance speech, which is so cringe because I'm like, I don't need to say anything, but they really wanted me to say something. So I actually went up and in front of all these students at the University of Edinburgh, just started listing off all the failures that I'd had while at university, all the knockbacks, all the rejections, just to be like, let's make this a bit real though. Like, let's remember that, you know, I might be getting this award now, but there was times where there was actually a time that I got rejected by Edinburgh to even get in. So I mentioned that and I said, you know, it took me two times to get in here. So
I bet all of the Edinburgh uni staff loved that. They didn't just all go, oh no, yeah. what's she doing?
They were like, at least she's being real.
No, I think that's the important thing to remember, is that it's the little things, it's the kind of knockbacks and the things that make people, I think, always make people more interesting. If everything you did succeeded first time, you wouldn't have a kind of exciting, interesting story to follow. All the best stories out there kind of have these moments, the hero's arc. You have to be knocked back a few times before you can kind of succeed fully. And I think, yeah, it's a good message to put out that anyone can make this difference, even if you feel like sometimes you're spinning this kind of wheel spinning, eventually you will kind of make an impact. And I think that leads perfectly onto what we are kind of actually kind of here to talk about mainly, which are these protests that are going on across the UK for Surfers Against Sewage on the 23rd of April 2022. If you're listening to this next year, sorry you missed it, but I'm sure there'll be more going on. But yes, so I wondered, to get us started with kind of that conversation, before I feel like I've listed the date three or four times now, but I'm going to keep doing it so people remember. Before I list it too many more times, could you tell us a little bit about Surfers Against Sewage and how you're involved and what their kind of message is?
I mean, Surfers Against Sewage are such an easy organization to explain because you're like, they are surfers who are against sewage. No, I mean, that's kind of how they were founded, you know, a group of people who loved the ocean for many different reasons, particularly recreational. You know, who doesn't? Well, I love swimming in the ocean and, you know, trying to paddleboard and surf and all this. And, you know, it was a group of people who came together to really try and raise awareness for the issues, all the stuff we were talking about earlier that is impacting our oceans, particularly here in the UK. And they don't just look you know, the ocean. They also realize that rivers connect to the ocean, and so they do a lot of stuff to do with kind of river quality and water quality and all of this kind of stuff. And they're across the UK. They work to raise awareness for a whole bunch of different kind of topics, whether it's plastic, sewage, river quality, and they do some really cool stuff. So they don't just try and raise awareness, they also, you know, produce reports to really inform us on kind of what the situation is. They have lots of petitions, they've got lots of actions that people can take, and you can even, you know, report incidents on their website, you know, to kind of help shape what is actually happening to our waters. And as a kind of network, they've got people across the UK, lots of kind of regional volunteer reps who are trying to help raise awareness and trying to help build up this stuff. And they've done some kind of cool things. You know, they've done this cool action, which is the million mile beach clean, that they're, you know, trying to kind of beach clean a million miles and stuff like that. But one of their main things, of course, in the name is sewage. And it's such a non-sexy topic, it's unbelievable, but actually it's really important. You know, basically this idea that we live on this little island called the UK, we produce waste because we are humans and that's what happens. And when our waste water is taken away, and taken away by whatever the kind of company utility is, so up here in Scotland it's Scottish Water, when it's taken away, one of the big things that's been happening is that it's being mismanaged. And one of the problems that can often happen is sewage, basically raw sewage, what comes out of your toilet just gets put straight back into the environment, which is a grim thought, absolutely grim. And this has real impacts both ecologically on the environments that that's put into. But of course, that has a huge impact then on if you have like bathing waters, places that people want to go swimming nearby, it just makes them really unsafe. And over the past few years, there's been so many stories about, you know, the statistics of like how many places are actually safe, and we just have so few compared to so many different countries around the world. Mm-hmm. And so they're trying to raise awareness for this. And so the next big thing they're doing, which is April 23rd, there's the date again, is try and highlight this water quality issue. So they've got a big report that's coming out to kind of coincide with it. So people can also go and check out the report when it's live to kind of read, I guess, the real story of what's happening. And then they're wanting to just raise awareness. And they're doing these regional ones across the UK. So in Scotland, the one that I'll be going to is Edinburgh. But of course, there's some in different locations. And it's to kind of also tie a protest to a water utility. So in Scotland, the Edinburgh protest is, of course, highlighting Scottish Water, who are the kind of utility that cover Scotland. And so I guess that's what they're trying to do this time round. And they've got demands, you know, they've got demands for what they want. You know, they're wanting better targets for when it comes to sewage getting, especially untreated sewage being discharged. They want better testing to really show what the true picture is. Because a lot of, you know, charities and organisations do testing themselves, but they just don't have the capacity to do it, you know, properly in terms of like full coverage. So they can only do it as much as they can as a charity. They also want nature to be restored, you know, to really have minimal impacts from things like sewage. And they want better investment into the infrastructure to really try and stop this from happening. And I mean, I guess I'll sort of just end with like what they're on about, because I don't know if you saw this video, but this video sticks in mind and it's something that you should look up if you've not seen it. And it was actually November last year. So context, just after COP26. So everyone's thinking about the environment and thinking about, or at least everyone in my circle was. But you know, November, just after this happened, there was a drone video that was flying over Langstone Harbour in Hampshire. So November, drone, flying over this area, and there was raw sewage being dumped at the moment that this drone flew over. But the reason I say go and watch the video is because it's such a visual representation of like this stuff just spewing into this huge area of water. And to me, I was like, okay, I knew this was an issue, but actually seeing it makes you just want to balk. I don't know if that's a Scottish word, makes you want to gag, makes you want to be sick. And I think for me, you know, this is what they're wanting to do, is like, first of all, raise awareness to like, do people know that this is happening? And second of all, get people out there to raise awareness. There's a petition, there's a report. They want people to be getting involved for all these different reasons.
And it's so important. And I think a lot of our listeners kind of maybe are very focused on kind of the conservation of nature or animals or whatever it is. And this doesn't just affect kind of, as you said, surfers against sewage. It doesn't just affect kind of the surfers and the recreational people and all these things. And their goals are fantastic because they encompass the kind of nature and kind of the animals. Around the UK, we have an exceptionally fantastic amount of biodiversity beyond what I think most people expect. There's sharks, there's rays, there's kind of different species of dolphin, mammals like seals. There's all sorts of incredible things out there. And yes, imagine if somebody came into your back garden and just started dumping kind of piles and piles of unprocessed human waste. Like it's not going to do good for your health, and it definitely doesn't do good well for them. So if you love kind of the animal side and the nature side and kind of all of these weird and wonderful sea creatures as well, all of this stuff really, really matters and is really, really important. And I think kind of showing, having your voice heard in this way by protesting, I think is a good way to show when you get kind of these big kind of groups of people together, it shows that this matters to you, and kind of, yeah, I think it's an excellent way to do it. And I think especially, I don't know why, this is on my mind, and I don't know if you've probably seen the clip of the kind of oil protester who was talking to, and I can't even remember his name now, the interviewer on Good Morning Britain.
Oh my gosh,
being
yes.
talked down to. And it's kind of like one of these things that kind of protesters are sometimes portrayed in this way that actually kind of in this world right now, they're kind of, oh, they're an issue. But in fact, no, they're not an issue. They're the people who are making the difference. And I think that's why an event like this is so important and kind of, yeah, really, really a good opportunity to kind of go and get your voice heard. And yes, I don't know, in terms of kind of getting involved in the events, is there web pages? Could you give us a little bit of information and like where can people go to find out more about them?
Yeah, great question. The general website that is the best place to go to is sas.org.uk. And you can go and find out. So that's Surfers Against Sewage. And there's a whole page dedicated to the protests. You can go and find the one that's either closest to you. So the one that maybe you live in, the region you live in. You can find out exactly what time it's on, exactly the starting location, how you can turn up. And you can also get in touch with the regional volunteer. You know, you can, if you want to help, you can either just turn up or you can offer to help or do whatever, and that would be the best place to go. And I think if you want to get involved, it can be a mixture. It can be going to the protest, being, I always say, like a bum on a seat, you know, like someone who's just there to kind of show the support in numbers, take a little, you know, placard, say a few chants, or maybe even just stand, share about it on social media, do something to just be a little voice. And it doesn't have to be a daunting thing. And if you've never been to a protest before, also get in touch with the volunteer, maybe say that you've never been before, ask if, you know, bring someone else along with you, ask for some advice, because I know that not everyone's always been to a protest before. So that's what you can do. And if you can't make it to a protest, maybe it's too far from where you are, or maybe you're listening to this on the 24th of April and you think, oh, it was yesterday, you can still, you know, share all of this stuff on social media. So you can find Surfers Against Sewage across social media. You can also find their little regional hubs. Lots of them have their own socials as well. You can follow them, like their things, share them around, and obviously sign the petitions that they put out, and also have a read of the report. And then maybe it might be something that you want to, you know, tell other people about, whether that is local councillors, MSPs, MPs. You know, there might be people around you that you think, actually, I just want to share that I've found this thing, I'm really passionate about it. What can we do, maybe as a local area? How can you get your representatives who are paid to represent you in government and councils, how can you get them to help out? So there's a whole host of ways of doing that. And it will really, really help, no matter how you do your activism. You know, that's all these things will help.
Yes, yes. I think it's fantastic. And it's advice that was kind of similarly, we talked to Catherine Gemmell from the Marine Conservation Society last year, and she was fantastic in kind of summarizing that, yeah, even if you kind of maybe don't have the ability to go to this event, because of course it is quite soon, but if 23rd of April, if you're we're gonna keep saying it, try and go along if you can. But if you can, there's always kind of other ways to contribute, even if it's, you can do things like donate to charities, or you can write to your MP and be active in that way, if that's something you find that you're good at writing and you're passionate in that. And I think, yeah, and maybe an underlying tone of this whole thing, this whole podcast, is kind of do what you're good at and do what kind of makes you happy. Because we kind of talked about how you kind of, your journey with that, me doing the podcast, like all of these things, be kind of, raise your voice and make a difference in your own way. And I think, yeah, that's a strangely well tied together theme there.
We go. We did well.
But yes, that's perfect. And I think, yeah, go and learn. And I would encourage everybody to go learn more, do what you can, turn up if you can. And if you can't go, tell your friends, family, maybe who live near one of the protest sites, spread the word and help get that kind of message out to as many people as possible. Because I think it's often amazing when you might think kind of, The only people who would be interested in your life would be the conservation-y people. But in fact, that's not always the case. So talk to everyone in your life about these types of events. And some of them might be interested, even the ones who don't openly talk about it. Because, of course, things like the Blue Planet have opened passions about the ocean to everyone. So, yes, go in and do
that. It feels like everyone and their dog loves open water swimming now. So this is an issue that people, you know, want to get involved in. So definitely.
Yes, especially like I think given the last year and a half of like pandemic and everything, I think so many people found kind of connection with nature and love of nature and kind of found these kind of these joys for mental health and physical health, going to the beach and going and doing these things. And so even if it's for personal reasons, it doesn't have to be for animals all the time. Even if you're feeling a little like, I want to protect the thing that I love because I love going there, go and do it. Anyone can go.
Yep.
Doesn't matter the motivations. You're all there for a common goal. So yeah, perfect. I wondered though, something that I wanted to talk about before I let you go, is that, yes, of course, this is April 23rd, but if people miss this for whatever reason, I feel like there is no better person to give advice maybe about kind of what people can do outside of that thing that day than you, because Less Waste Laura is your whole kind of website. You're on Twitter, your Instagram, kind of promoting these kind of things. What could people do to protect our oceans and kind of help keep them clean and healthy beyond maybe April 23rd?
Yeah. So everything that we've mentioned, I'll just say, go do that. But I think, you know, there's loads of different things that we can do. And I think partly, so for example, I'm going to go away for Easter weekend and I'm going to go up north to the Highlands of Scotland. And one of the things I always do when I'm away, this is the tiniest of actions, but one thing I always do is have a small bag in my pocket so that if I'm walking along and there's any litter, I just chuck it in. I just whip it in. I just put it in, collect it up. And I always just try and like leave everywhere that I go to a little bit cleaner than when I found it. Mm-hmm. And I try and do that and kind of no matter what the circumstance is. But also, you know, as individuals, we can just take lifestyle action, have conversations, find ways that we can try and improve practices. And, you know, that doesn't just need to be as an individual. It can be as a business. It can be looking at, you know, the place that you work, the school that you go to, the apprenticeship that you're a part of. How can you make a better impact through the way that, you know, you are doing things? And, you know, I think particularly thinking about the ocean, one of the, I guess, things to realise is that the ocean often starts in your house, on your street, the river that's at the bottom of your garden or in your local green space. And being able to protect it even as close to home. You know, I live in Glasgow, my nearest beach, you know, it's 20, 30 minutes drive. You know, it's not close. But I recognise that there's a huge river that goes through the Clyde. And one of the tributaries is actually at the bottom of my garden. So actually recognising that, you know, the stuff that we do in our day-to-day lives has a huge impact down the line. So I guess it's just about kind of thinking about all of those things. But I think if people are just interested in going on a journey with, I guess, what it looks like to live environmentally more generally, one of the things that you can do is just get plugged into groups online. Follow some of, you know, the organizations we've mentioned, whether it's individuals or charities, find community groups, see what's going on, see what you can learn, find out ways to get involved. And there might just be something that sparks your interest and you think, oh, that's it. That's the group I want to join. I want to help them. I want to do something. Or maybe you just learn those and you're like, oh, I'm going to take up all these lifestyle actions, tell my neighbors, tell my friends. And then that's a good way to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, again, perfect advice. I think it's really my one job is to boost the egos of all of my guests, if you can't tell.
That's exactly. Kind of, and mine is boosted. I feel great.
But no, that's, yeah, it's really good advice. I think all of these things, and I even like some, I hadn't thought about it like that before, with the kind of the ocean starts with the little kind of stream or river or whatever it is. Yeah. That's a really clever and beautiful way to think about it, because yeah, it just, it's one of those strange things that kind of you think about it maybe, I think sometimes I'm guilty of kind of thinking of conservation as like there's issues that happen on land, there's issues that happen in rivers, there's issues that happen in the sea, there's issues, but it's important, yeah, to kind of recognize these overlaps in the places where they come together, and these transitional things affect more than just, yes, yeah, and yeah, and especially in terms of kind of with litter, I think it's something that I talked about a lot when in one of my old jobs. I used to work kind of with sea life quite a lot. And it was one of those things that I used to talk about. The thing that would really annoy me would be people, you'd walk upstairs after work and you'd go back into the car park of all these people who just learned about the ocean and kind of not littering and all these things. And there'd be litter all over the car park and you go dropping it there or doing these things disconnected from the, even though we're far away from the sea, this is still going to end up there. You've kind of missed the point of this. And so it's important to really connect these things. And so yes, thank you very much, because now that's going to have me thinking all day about kind of what other things connect in strange ways that maybe I haven't considered. That's a perfect thing, perfect piece of advice. I wondered, kind of, it's a bit of a shorter episode today, but I think it's really important because we kind of have been trying to highlight the kind of main thing, which is this event happening on April 23rd, 2022.
April 23rd.
Go and get involved. But before we go, I kind of always like to ask, is there anywhere, if people want to keep up to date, learn more about your work maybe, learn more about Surfers Against Sewage, kind of what kind of, where can they go? What kind of things can they kind of look for to learn more about your work or Surfers Against Sewage?
Yeah, both of us in terms of Surfers Against Sewage and me exist online. And so mm-hmm. you can find all of our social medias with loads of links to cool articles and more actions and lifestyle things and education. Mm-hmm. So Surfers Against Sewage or Less Waste Laura is where you can find us. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's, you know, the best way to connect in is just follow along, see what's happening. And I do have a website as well. So Surfers Against Sewage is sas.org.uk. And mine is lesswastelaura.com. And on mine, I've got loads of stuff. Like if there's events coming up, I post about those. I've got a newsletter, all this kind of stuff, just for people if they're interested to get connected in and have a little daily dose of things that they can get involved with.
Yes, that's perfect. And it's an excellent website. It has all sorts of different things on there. So make sure and go and check it out and learn more about some of the other projects with them. Oh, now I'm getting myself confused. Vauxhall.
No, that was the other one. Volkswagen, there we go.
Volkswagen. And all the other projects. You can watch the TED Talk, which I think is fantastic. I watched it yesterday.
Thank you.
To kind of do my little bit of research because I was like, I feel like I need, I'm really, it's any excuse to watch a TED Talk. Really any excuse. I like to go on and watch them all. And it was fantastic. So go and watch that. There's some really good kind of, I really appreciate when people incorporate in talks a visual element as well as just the kind of chatting. And so there's some really good and poignant visuals about plastic pollution and how you can live more sustainably. So go and check those out as well. And yeah, I guess that kind of, it feels strange. Usually I'm rambling for at least another 45 minutes. So it's a nice short one for everyone today. But yes, I guess all that remains is for me to kind of say a massive thank you, Laura, for joining me. Thank you very, very much.
No, thank you for having me on and letting us share about all the stuff that's going on. It's been great. Thanks so much.
Thank you. And yes, for everyone else, I'll put the links to all those things down in the description for the episode. So just click down there and you'll be able to learn more about Laura and Surfers Against Sewage and all the events that are going on. I'll maybe even put a link to the TED Talk there so people have easy access to that as well. You'll also be able to find links to Pangolin, the conservation podcast, on social media down there as well. We're at Pangolin Podcast on everything, so you can find us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all that sort of stuff. And yes, you can subscribe to the podcast on wherever you're listening now, so please do that. Leave us a nice review if you're so inclined. And yes, April 23rd 2022, make sure and get out there and have your voice heard. Yes, I've watched enough kind of reality shows where they're like, you haven't done this enough. I'm promoting these things like to the top of my ability. Like,
It's great.
The judges will not be critiquing me for this kind of like, I'm getting the message out there. This is what I need to do. So before I ramble on too much, though, another massive thank you to you, Laura. Thank you to everyone for listening. And until next time, goodbye, everyone.
Bye.